everybody, and welcome to episode 127 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who knows who you are and knows exactly what you did. Brian, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm a little sticky. I'm a little moist.
It's the weather. It's a little Indian summer.
Oh, whoa. Easy. Okay, first off, we are the woke podcast. We are woke, okay? So we don't throw terms that were popular back. Next thing you're going to say is that your favorite football team is the Chiefs or the Redskins, and, you know, you do the tomahawk. Easy now.
All right.
I would feel a lot more comfortable if you just said that these are the dog days of fall.
Dog days of fall, definitely. Maybe we should cool off with a nice beverage.
Drink of the week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Who's drink of the week. Drink of the
All
week.
Right, Brian, what we're starting off with you as usual. What did you bring to the table this week?
I dipped into the nostalgia file.
Oh.
Broken Goblet.
Mm. The fucking
Pilsner.
Oh, that's a
fucking
good
Pilsner. Unlike you, Ron, who gets a weekly delivery from five different breweries in your local area, I figure what I would do is dip into the one-offs that I have left. I still have one Lager King left.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Saving it. Saving it for when you're hurting and you're down the most. Here we have my Pilsner.
Sláinte. Take it down. I do. That's one of my... I'm not usually a Pilsner fan. That is one of my favorite beers that they make. And you're enjoying it. You're going right back to the second sip.
That is good stuff. Ron, what do you got?
So I have, from the good folks at Flying Dog Brewery, this is Cujo. This is a cold brew porter clocking in at 6%. I'm doing a virtual beer festival this weekend, thanks to the fine folks at beerfesttoyou.com. Only able to be shipped within the state of Pennsylvania, but it was an excellent deal. 24 beers, $100 shipping included. And so that box arrived earlier. This Flying Dog is one of them. So let's try this cold brew coffee porter.
I'm a little hurt. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. You would like this. You would really. Unfortunately, I only got one. But this is something you would really like.
Walk me through a virtual beer fest.
So basically, they collected 24 breweries altogether. They shipped you a box with descriptions of all the beers. And then they were doing a virtual event. They're going to have different breweries doing presentation live on their virtual site. And then it's going to end the day with a concert by G Love and Special Sauce.
Is it one beer an hour for like 24 hours?
I think you need to drink with your head, drink responsibly, because it's all full size beers. So yes, I mean, I guess technically you could drink 24 beers in a day if you wanted to.
How many beers do you think you could go like one an hour?
I mean, it depends on the alcohol content, but I could probably go for a while.
We should do that one day. No. All joking aside,
yeah.
How long do you think the StreamYard YouTube would let us go before it cuts off?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, we pay, so I don't know that there is a cutoff. I mean, a certain number of hours.
Could we do a 24-hour show?
I'd have to look into the logistics of it.
I'm not kidding you here. I think, you know, let's face it. You know, the fourth wave of coronavirus is coming. It's going to hit us. There will be mass closures. We'll be inside. I think that if you and I curate a beer fest.
Okay.
And we podcast all day long.
All right. I like that. You know what else I am drinking this week, Brian?
Cyanide.
That's later. I made myself a nice, even though it's a little warm, a nice piping hot cup of coffee, as you can see right here, in the brand new Ron and Brian podcast coffee mug.
What?
Daddy,
what did you get?
Christmas came early this year from the good folks at our Patreon. So this is the mug you can get if you subscribe for 3 months. And I forget what the level is, but I just got it in the shipping today.
Stop covering up that beautiful logo. Put that thing a little closer. I want to get a better look at it.
There we go. Ron and Brian. Oh, look at that coffee mug, my friend. It looks like you got
see that
as well.
Hmm.
Hmm. So you can get that. I think it's at the $25 level. If you sign up for that for 3 straight months, you get,
you know, you would think that if we were whoring our Patreon that we would have the levels in front of us.
You would think we would know all this stuff already, but clearly all we can tell you is to go to ronandbrianpodcast.com and in the upper right hand side of the screen, how to become a patron.
And I will say this, fine. I mean, these are like China. Like, that is the high level product that we're getting. This is like the fine China that your grandmother wouldn't let you use, except if it was Purim.
And people are insinuating that you're not drinking coffee out of your coffee mug, Brian. Is that the
water?
Case?
Water. Okay. I'm having some water ice. Drinking a hoogie.
Get some hoogie. This is the beer. Water ice downtown.
This is the beer, and then every week I have like a glass. That is up. That's just a handsome looking mug. Look at that thing.
Baller looking mug. Everybody should go to Patreon, see how to get one. Not just that, you can get the tote bag, you can get the hoodie, but we don't have that stuff to show you yet. So hopefully in the coming weeks we will.
I thought I was getting a tote bag.
You should be getting a tote bag and a hoodie. They must be getting them from different countries.
When I get my tote bag, I'm going to put some GMO, non-GMO, free trade organic coffee, like a pound of it, in the bottom of my tote bag. I'll wear it over the shoulder.
You get your tote bag and you go to Trader Joe's and you get your gluten-free tortilla chips. You put them in there, maybe get a free-range rotisserie chicken, and then you're all set for a nice dinner.
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good. Let's talk racism, Brian.
This
week.
Racism.
As usual, horrible stories again this week. We'll start in Kissimmee, Florida. A white teacher has been removed from her classroom for saying that she was entitled to dislike blacks since she was attacked by a gang on a train to Atlanta as a teen. A video of the exchange between teacher Tracy Brown and students at Poinciana High School went viral, showing her making statements like, I have as much right as anyone to dislike blacks for what happened to me, and that she was a, quote, little more educated than the assailants who attacked her as a teen. She also referred to Black Lives Matter supporters as entitled, self-righteous individuals. She has been moved to a position outside of the classroom with no contact with students while the school district investigates.
That's not good.
And if you pull up her picture, I did not. I don't have it, so please don't ask me for it. But she looks pretty much what you would expect a racist white teacher from Florida would look like. I believe she's wearing a muumuu in the particular picture. Going into the Marines, Major General Stephen M. Neary, the commanding general of the Marine Corps in Europe and Africa, was relieved of his post as an investigation was started into his use of a racial slur. Over the summer, a group of Marines was listening to rap music during a training session when Neary approached them and commented on the music using the N-word. Neary had only assumed command in July, so the incident happened shortly after he started. It's a good way to ingratiate yourselves with your new platoon. Just drop a bullet on them.
I saw the story on the news, and it seemed as if like this wasn't an issue where he just started calling people racial epithets.
He didn't call people, but he dropped it in front of people.
Yeah, it seemed as the way they described it sounded as if it was one of those situations where he heard a word and repeated it aloud, and everybody in the room sat there wondering why on earth he would do that.
See, now I got the impression that he was referring to the music as N-word music. That was
no, I did not get that impression. I got the impression that like he was kind of pointing out the language that was in the songs that the other Marines were playing. It didn't say that he made a comment like, you know, promoting it, whether it was, you know, he's saying, you know, acting as if there was something wrong with that word. which we know there is something wrong with
the hard ER instead of the A, which is a common mistake.
We've all been there. Not you, not I.
Yeah. All right, let's go out to Iowa City, Iowa. Charges have been dropped against a black man who was arrested last year after he was stopped by a police officer for jaywalking. Based on police body cam footage, a federal judge decided that what the arresting officer described as a legitimate stop was really a clear case of racial profiling and that the arrest was unlawful. Officer Travis Neal had waved Christopher Kelly to cross the street to come over to him, and he then stopped Kelly for jaywalking and impeding traffic. The incident escalated, with Neal eventually tasering Kelly several times while officers held him down.
Yeah.
That's clearly a dick move. Like, hey,
yeah, I would say here.
Now I'm going to arrest you for jaywalking. Now I'm going to tase you.
Cops are not having a good year.
No, it is not good. Poll workers not also having a good year. Going out to
listen. They're single women who are trying to earn a living. You know, you can't go after all poll workers.
Poll, Brian, not the stripper poll. We're talking the election polls. And we're going out to Memphis, Tennessee, where early electing has already taken place. A poll worker was fired for refusing people wearing Black Lives Matter T-shirts to come inside and vote. The poll worker said that he had turned away the voters because he thought the shirt was tied to the Democratic Party. After receiving multiple complaints, the manager of operations went to the polling location and fired the poll worker on the spot after verifying the details of the incident.
Now, was he upset because instead of, like, throwing dollar bills, people were crumpling it up into a ball and throwing it at him?
I think he was upset that the free buffet was not open when he got there.
Got it. Or the fact that maybe the ATM machine was out.
Very
possible. Maybe there had been a drunken customer who had just recently cleared out the ATM of $500 in cash.
These things happen. Going out to the West Coast, Santee, California. A white woman yelled at a black Starbucks employee after the barista asked the customer to put on her mask, which was hanging below her chin. The woman initially put her Trump 2020 mask on properly, but then took it off again to yell at the employee, claiming that she was being discriminated against for being a Trump supporter. The woman yelled, "Fuck Black Lives Matter," while grabbing her drink from the counter. The barista just said, "Ma'am, come back, you're still going to need to have your mask on." So as the woman left, she continued to yell, "This is America, and I don't have to do what you say. Trump 2020, fuck you, fuck Black Lives Matter."
Oh.
Yes. But probably the worst story of the week coming out of Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam has announced an investigation into the Virginia Military Institute regarding a, quote, clear and appalling culture of ongoing structural racism. This comes after a recent report in the Washington Post regarding allegations of the school's institutional racism, including a lynching threat against a black student that went unpunished, vicious attacks against students on social media, and a professor that spoke fondly about her family's history with the Ku Klux Klan. A student to the Post told the Post about a business class where Professor E. Susan Kellogg described attending KKK parties and talked about how in high school, her friends would drive around looking for, quote, racial minorities to bop on the head. When contacted by the Post, Kellogg clarified that bopping racial minorities meant striking black people and other people of color on the back of the head with a 2x4. She said that while she personally did not do that, her friends did. Kellogg also told the Post that the KKK parties were a, quote, delight, and also described the scent of her father's robes. Quote, "They smelled like firewood, and it was the nicest smell in the world." She was surprised that the student was upset about her story, saying, "Young people are fairly quick to make judgments. She was lacking in some perspective."
She got caught lacking?
So, professor clearly not stepping off of her love of the KKK parties.
Please remind me, what school was this?
This is Virginia Military Institute, VMI.
VMI?
Yes.
My God.
Yeah, there was also, as mentioned, there was a black student that was threatened to be lynched by a white student. The white student initially lied about it and then admitted it later on, which violates the code of conduct, which states that any BMI student that lies is automatically kicked out of school. However, the kid only received a 1-year suspension.
So he got suspended for lying, not threatening to lynch someone.
Apparently, the lying was more than the lynching. But the government of Virginia is going to bring in a third party to investigate it, and we'll see where it goes from there.
I think that's a smart idea.
It seems like they've got some issues there.
I would agree with that.
All right, but no issues here, because we're rolling right along with Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, what is bothering you this week?
There's a lot bothering me, Ron.
All right, talk.
This was a week of ups. This was a week of downs. There were great tragedies. There were amazing celebrations. First off, I would like to point out that my original beef, which was Governor Cuomo and Mario de Blasio, did I say Mayor de Blasio? I was going to say that they were keeping my home address in the orange zone, which was prohibiting me from inviting more than 25 people into my residence. Yesterday, I am pleased to announce that my area of Queens has been the mini cluster, if okay. you would. The restrictions of the area have been lifted. Fortunately, the hotel across the street from me that was using their outdoor deck space are now free to return to having massive gatherings, family parties, blasting merengue music until 11 o'clock night on a Friday night. My real beef of the week is this, and this is where I will get petty. It's my dry cleaner.
Oh,
my dry cleaner has taken it upon himself to insert plastic collar stays in my shirts that I drop off, the what? Shirts I wear for work.
What?
Now, I know I use metal collar stays. You got to go. You know,
do you use the metal class. Stays with the magnets?
What do you think I am? Some kind of trash?
All right.
Garbage person? You're the one who turned me on to the magnetic, so I don't. Yep. I used my anyway. To make a long story short, so I end up every night when I come home, I'll take my work shirt off, I take the magnet, take the collar stay out, put the dirty shirt into my laundry bag. When I get my shirts back and as I take them out one at a time, this fucker has just jabbed in plastic collar stays. And on two shirts, and I have no idea how this happened, the collar stay has actually gone into the shirt.
Oh, into the collar? Yeah, I've had that happen. It drives you insane. I don't find this petty at all. I feel this is one of the more legitimate beefs that you have had in the history of this podcast.
And I understand that at his core, the man probably thinks he's helping me out. He's probably saying, like, hey, this guy never has collar stays in his shirts. You know, it's the right thing to do. You want to have some type of form on your collar. Otherwise, it just kind of flares up like you're about to fly off. So let me help him out. No, do not. It's jammed in. And I've got two shirts now where there's just a plastic collar stay just floating around uncontrollably inside the collar. To say that at 6:45 in the morning, when my body is still absorbing my coffee, that I'm trying to sit there with a pair of fucking tweezers trying to jab through. Oh, it's just awful. I gave up both times.
Would you say your rage is untethered and knows no bounds when you have that happen to you?
No. If I was truly well, at that moment, yes. But then I do have the anger control to say, fuck it, put on my shirt and go to work. And then within like 15 minutes, I feel much better about it.
So quick question from listener Janelle. What the fuck is a collar stay? So Brian, quick explanation for those that may not be as familiar with men's dress shirts.
I'm going to let you answer this because I think you're going to do a much better job.
So basically, you know how you have the two-point, the collar and the front of the shirt where each side has a point to it? We actually put like a little piece of plastic, or if you are, you know, real men of integrity, you put some metal in there and it holds the collar down so they don't go popping up or curling on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a nice, it's a more professional look. This way your collar always stays nice and sharp and crisp in one piece. It doesn't fold up.
Exactly. So my beef, Brian, my beef is with my lovely wife this week. And it relates to the office that I'm in right now, the home office. From those of you that have joined us over the years and have seen the background, you recognize this background, you have become comfortable with it, you enjoy it. And you know, obviously,
I love the sound of that room.
The sound normally is better than it is. So, you know, in these unprecedented times, my wife had to come home and work from home. She always had a desk in this office, but never really utilized it prior to March of this year. So she has been in here since March. You know, she will be working from home for the near future. Even going back to work, it'll probably be 2 days in the office, 3 days in the home office. So she has decided that the office needs to change. And my big badass desk with the hutch and everything else apparently needs to go away. We apparently also need some beadboard, some wainscoting in here, which apparently needs to happen tomorrow morning, with a little chair rail going around the side of the wall. So everything has pretty much almost been moved out of here, which is why there's a little bit more of an echo in the room than I like. And then I don't know what's going to happen to this desk, but it's tearing me up a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Can I follow in Janelle's precedence and ask WTF is wainscoting?
Wainscoting is kind of that wood paneling that just goes along like the bottom portion of the wall.
I thought that was floorboard.
That's it's bigger than that. This is going to come up like 3 feet. Like I'll send
why?
You. It just apparently it had to be done. We apparently had to drive to Lowe's the other night and pick up all this stuff and bring it home. And now we apparently have to have somebody come install it tomorrow.
So you're actually putting a cover on the wall of 3 feet high?
Yes.
What is a pin board?
It's a bead board. Exactly.
What is a bead board? Sorry.
It's a very thin board. Like it's not like it's basically like wood paneling, if you will. And I do have to point out, as always, Billy gets in first with the Ron is unemployed jokes, saying Ron specified his home office. Does that imply that he has an office elsewhere? Well played.
Well done.
Can't even get upset at that one because it's a great joke. So I don't like change, and everything around me is changing, and I apparently need to get a new desk, and that's created a lot of angst.
So you have to get rid of your whole desk?
My whole desk and my desk and a hutch. It's a big desk. I'm not going to lie.
What's wrong with the hutch?
Apparently it's big. Apparently the issue with it is the whole thing's just too big, and it's very manly looking. Because I have a matching two-drawer file cabinet that goes with it, and that apparently needs to go as well.
Now, is this desk taken from your last place of employment when they shut down?
No, this was from my previous house when I had my Quiznos. I had a home office there, and I bought the desk back then. So, I mean, I've been interested. I've gotten 13 years out of the desk. But
I imagine it's still in very good condition.
I mean, it holds together. It, you know, and I'm not exactly, I mean, it's big. I'm not even sure how the movers got it in this room. So I'm not 100% certain how the hell we're getting it out of this room.
Well, yeah, I would sit there and tell her that that would be her responsibility to figure out.
Maybe you can tell her that because I don't want to get killed in the middle of the night.
Okay.
All right.
That is a legitimate beef, actually. Here I am talking about my collars.
No, you have I think
shirts.
Today, rarely we both have a legitimate beef, but this week I feel we both have legitimate gripes to deal with.
Well, yours is definitely legitimate. I mean, this is your home control. This is your safe space in the house. I mean, it's the only place throughout this entire pandemic, which is going on its eighth month, where you have not been tasked with physical labor. Apparently, this is just one. You know, she needs to completely redo the house. Now, is this a HGTV project or something off the top of your heads?
I never know where the ideas come from, but this was just something that popped up, and she's like, "We're doing this." I mean, the desk, we have a desk. She got that recliner at IKEA that we told you about. So that's in the room now. She got one of those desks that go up and down, the elevated desk. I mean,
I like that. I give her credit on that one. The elevated standing desk is the move.
Are you thinking with that?
What's that?
Should I go with the elevated standing desk?
You seem like a chair kind of guy. I mean, let's face it. You're the kind of guy that likes to put his head down and take a nap at any moment's notice. If you stand, you know, your narcolepsy could kick in. Now, I just pulled up wainscoting, and I'm going to call it scotting because I'm garbage, and I know it's scoting, but I refuse to use scoting. This is the kind of thing where if it's there already, okay, I get it, but I don't know why you would go out of your way to put this in.
And hopefully we bought everything we need. So, I mean, I have a feeling when the guy comes to install it tomorrow, it's just going to be a shit show. So we shall see, my friend. We shall see.
It literally may. I don't understand. Like, this is the thing about the home improvement shows and the channels and whatnot, is that I feel like they increase the level of unnecessary home projects. You know, like, and the thing is, you have done a lot of stuff in your house that I think came out really well. You know, you really built up your backyard that you're now going to be able to really take advantage of, you know, as the temperature starts to cool off. Your basement area, I think you did just a stand-up job there. You've been doing some plumbing work, as you've said, over the past couple of weeks. Literally, you are, it's like you've turned into a Home Depot day laborer. But somehow... somehow this wainscoting just feels completely unnecessary.
I'm not going to argue with you, but it is what it is. It's life. Let's move on to happier topics, shall we, Brian?
Sure.
Congratulations to you, sir. Again,
I did it.
A week. If I can refresh everybody's memories, you know, you were looking at that Vikings line. The Vikings were favored by 4. You were like, no. Atlanta is due. This is Atlanta's week. Sure enough, Atlanta wins 40-23. You're looking at the Dolphins giving 9.5 to the Jets. You're like, it clearly isn't the Jets' week. You go with the Dolphins. Dolphins win big, 24-0, 2-0 week, bringing you to 12-0 on the season. Congrats, my friend. Just killing it as always.
If you're trying to give me credit, I'm going to say that I learned it from watching you. Ron, last week you sat there, you took a look at the Tennessee Titans. They were laying 3 against the Texans. You said, listen, that's a joke. Titans win 42-36. Then you came back, you looked at the Dallas Cowboys and said, without their star quarterback, they're going to be terrible. You went with the Arizona Cardinals. It was like an episode right out of Jerry Maguire. Cardinals thrashed Dallas 38-10. Ron, you, sir, are now 12-0.
Listen,
congratulations.
Thank you. That Titans game scared me. They had to go to OT, but they pulled it out for me. So I feel hashtag blessed to still be 12-0.
Congrats. What do you got this week?
So this week, I'm loving a couple of road dogs this week. Seattle going into Arizona. Seattle is favored by 3.5, taking Seattle minus the points. Same thing with Green Bay. Green Bay going into Houston to play the Texans. Green Bay minus 3.5. Bet the house, bet the wainscoting on those two games. You will be in the money. Brian?
Can I just ask, what does wainscoting cost?
It's not as bad as you would think if you get like the cheap low stuff. I mean, it can get very expensive. But this
everything can get very expensive. But like I'm talking about your
board.
And how long is that?
It's a 4x3 board. 12 square feet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It just doesn't. How do you hold it against the wall?
I use a little construction adhesive and some nails.
And then you gotta. I assume you have to use some kind of sealer.
You gotta seal in the grooves. You gotta put the chair rail on. It's a lot. That's why I'm having somebody do it, because I looked at it. I watched some YouTube videos, and I'm like, this is something that I will probably either screw up or cut my hand off. One or the other.
Will you be standing over the guy as he's doing it, making comments?
I'm very I'm hands off for this project now. I'm like, nope. I'm like, this is all her.
It would be kind of cool if you stand over and you're like, what are you using, 3/8 of an inch nails? Yeah, good call.
A 1-inch, 2-inch? What do you got there?
I love that ad. I forgot what, I don't even know what it's an ad for.
I think it's like a insurance commercial, but he didn't ask.
I get the one when the guy goes, you have too many pillows. You can't sit down anywhere. There's nowhere to sit on this, so we're just going to get rid of a couple of them. And the woman's like, all right, I got... after Arizona's thrashing of Dallas, I'm flipping. They're going down this week. They're going into Seattle. Seattle laying 3.5 against Arizona, and with their star. What?
Are you sure that's your pick? That was my pick.
Oh yeah, I am reading off yours. I got the Steelers. I think they're a lock against Tennessee. The Titans are laying a point. I say go with the underdog, a rare underdog from Team Brian. Also, New Orleans Saints laying 7.5 over the Panthers. I'm going to throw in a third pick this week. Packers minus 3.5 over the Texans.
All right.
No, that's also yours pick. Never mind.
Sorry. That's all right. As always, bet with your head, not over it. 1-800-GAMBLER if you're addicted. But listen. If you want to be in the money, these are unprecedented times. People are going through very hard times. It's an easy way to take that government assistance and turn it into extra cash.
Now, Ron is 12-0. He's made 12 bets this year, won them all. Brian has made 12 bets this year, won them all. Combined, we are 24-0. People, I cannot legally guarantee you that if you were to take our four teams, put your next paycheck on a parlay. Is that the right term, parlay?
It is, yes.
Put it on a parlay, and literally you can retire off of it. Now, I can't legally tell parlay. You that. What are the odds on a four-team parlay?
A four-team? That I don't know.
Ron, I believe you
know.
Depends
on who you're picking and all that.
I believe you know everything.
You know what? You would be surprised how little I actually know.
All right.
Real quick, though, a quick update on wagering. So we had a while back placed some bets on the current season of Dancing with the Stars. Didn't really have a lot of difference in our picks, except for who we felt the final three would be. That was really the only area where we wavered a bit. And one of our final three went down this past week. And I am sad to say I lost Vernon Davis out of my final three. So it's you have an advantage right there. You have Neve Schulman, actually one of the best performances so far this year. So that could take you all the way. Although surprisingly, we both have Johnny Weir winning the entire thing. He was almost eliminated this week. It was Johnny Weir, Vernon Davis, the bottom two. Davis gets eliminated. So Weir needs to step up his game.
It's not the first time Weir's on the bottom.
Oh, boy. What else we got? What else do we have this
Ron,
week?
What are you watching?
What am I watching? You know, I haven't really watched too much. I watched the last episode of The Vow, the story about the Nexium sex cult. And it was somewhat disappointing. I'm not sure if they redid the episode or they planned it this way. But earlier in the week, HBO announced that they had renewed The Vow for a second season. And so it was they did kind of the Tiger King thing at the end, where they take a phone call from Keith Raniere from prison at the end of the episode. And he's like, oh, well, if you're going to do a documentary, you really need to talk to all the voices. And then it just ends right there. And I'm like, come on. Like, what the fuck?
Spoiler alert.
And then I also watched, I believe this was on Amazon Prime or HBO, one of the two, the Mark Ruffalo show, I Know This Much Is True, about a man and his twin brother. His twin brother suffers from schizophrenia. So it's a story about the family dynamic and struggle and extremely depressing show. Like, just really, like, yeah, you get to the end of it and you're like, well, that just was horrible. Like, it was a great acted and it's a great story, but it's a very depressing show.
Who's it, what actors are in it?
So Mark Ruffalo, Catherine Hahn, and a couple other
people. She's good. I like her.
A couple other people where you'll be like, oh yeah, I know that guy, but I don't know the names. More importantly, Brian, what are you watching?
Couple things I want to mention. There's a show on Disney, the streaming service Disney Plus, called The Mandalorian.
yes.
I know I'm slightly late to the game on that, but yesterday I knocked out 3 episodes to finish season 1. I know season 2 is going to be coming out rather shortly, correct?
I believe it comes out next week. So let me get this straight. You are watching a Star Wars TV show.
Yes.
I'm shocked. I'm not gonna lie. I'm shocked. Because you seem to be very anti-Star Wars.
No. I love Star Wars.
Okay.
I feel like what they did with the most recent 6 movies has been terrible.
okay.
You know, I think that the ones with Hans Christian Andersen were terrible. Then the ones with Adam Driver were better, but still didn't meet my expectations. I thought Rogue One, I thought that was really well done.
I did like that. You had told me, though, that Adam Driver's abs made you question your sexuality.
God, did I want to pour honey on his chest and lick it up? But more importantly, what I've really been watching, this thing has grabbed my attention, folks. It's not, you're not going to find it on Netflix. You're not going to find it on Amazon Prime. You're not going to find it on Hulu. You're going to find this on your phone.
And? Right?
It is a short form streaming platform. That is a short form, meaning it's literally 3, 5, 7 minutes long. So they're very short, literally filmed, not in your traditional 16:9 horizontal ratio or 9:16 vertical. But it's literally filmed for cell phones. It's called Quibi.
Right.
I am all over it. I'm all over Quibi. It's got some great power behind it.
Right.
Jeffrey Katzenberg, Meg Whitman. It was nominated for 10 Emmy Awards this past season, actually winning 2 for its show Free Rayshon. It's just impactful.
Brian, I hate to interrupt you, Brian, but Quibi's going out of business. Apparently, it's not a sustainable business model. They're shutting down. They're done for.
But I just spent so much time getting invested into all of these different shows.
Well, thankfully, you got another season of The Mandalorian coming up, because Quibi, not going to be there for you. You know what is going to be there for you?
Borat,
which, shockingly, I have to admit, never saw the first Borat movie. Never saw it. I feel it was one of those movies that you didn't need to see. You could just learn enough about it by people quoting it. And I wasn't that excited about seeing the sequel to Borat come out.
Now, did you ever watch the Ali G show on HBO?
I did catch some of that. I did like Ali G.
Okay, but you saw the Borat character?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get the joke.
There was absolutely no need to make this a Hollywood movie. And
on Amazon Prime?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about the first one. So the first one was, it was a bunch of Borat interviews. And what they did was they had to, like, create some tie-in to an actual plot, a story. So what they came up with was, and I'll ruin it for you because you've never seen it. Borat falls in love with Pamela Anderson and travels America from the East Coast to the West Coast in hopes that he can finally meet her.
And does he?
Of course, yeah. But that's not the point. What you find out later is that Sacha Baron Cohen actually knows Pam Anderson. Yeah. And like they were friends, and that's how, like, you know, he was just like, you know, can I use you in my movie? But the point is that they'll have like this great interview where he's in the deep South talking to some rednecks, and you know, he starts making gay jokes and they're like, we're not cool with that, get the fuck out of here. But then out of nowhere, the very next scene is him staring at like an episode of Baywatch being like, oh, you know, maybe in South Carolina, I am not to find her, but I will keep trapped. Like, and it just got so fucking stupid that it felt forced.
The one clip I've seen that always makes me laugh is when he goes to, is it the rodeo, and he sings "Throw the Dew Down the Well."
Yes. No. That's a honky tonk bar.
Honky-tonk, there we
in,
go.
Like Texas that he goes, and the brilliance of that. And see, that's the thing. Like, I love. Like, those bits are genius. There just wasn't a need to make it a pre-written movie. What's the genius of that is that he'll go into a room of strangers and he says something completely inappropriate, and he'll, instead of people sitting there saying that's inappropriate, he'll get them to immediately start making he'll catch them sliding on their self-defense, and they'll literally just start going along with it.
Right.
That was the beauty of Ali G.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I really liked Ali G. You know, again, I don't think I'm missing much by not having seen the initial Borat. But now, with what was released about Rudy Giuliani being in the newest Borat movie, very interesting. Even if it is not what it is portrayed to be in the media this week, it is a brilliant bit of advertising for the movie. Because I had zero interest in seeing this film. And now I'm all right, I'm going to check out and see what happens.
The difference is that I'm actually going to see this movie, because if I had to pay to see it, I probably would not.
Yeah.
And you know that... It's nothing as salacious. It's, you know, that it's not Rudy literally sitting there taking his pants off in front of a reporter. It probably is going to show him putting his hand down his pants, but it's probably nothing as traumatizing as what the media is trying to portray.
Yeah, but it will be interesting to watch. And again, I mean, this is a man who married his cousin, his first wife. So why, you know, why should I?
Rudy married, wait, Rudy or Borat?
Rudy. Rudy's first was his cousin. You didn't know that?
No.
Yes. 100%.
Rudy married his cousin?
Rudy married his cousin.
Hold on. I got to look this up. if my screen starts to flutter, don't blame me.
Right.
But this was just too much for me.
So anyway, just to give some background, so Rudy apparently somehow gets lured to a New York hotel.
It was his second cousin.
Yeah, exactly. So the actress that's playing Borat's daughter in the film starts coming on to him, and it seemed like Rudy was ready to bang her right in the hotel room, is what it comes across.
Well, that's what they're. That's first off, it's very likely. But I'm withholding judgment, because I think that if it was something as salacious as what they're turning it into, that footage would have leaked.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, again, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's borderline inappropriate. But yes, if it was as bad as they would make it believe, then yeah, it would have come out way before this.
Yeah. It's. Listen, the fact that they've waited until 10 days before the election to drop this bomb, you know, on Giuliani. And then there's the whole thing. Also, not to go into a side note over here, but can you bring me up to speed on the Hunter Biden laptop?
You know what?
Because first off, I'm not following it whatsoever. Right. There's just so much noise going on. It's literally people just shouting on the top of a mountain, and it's numbing at this point. But what I've seen is that somehow, and I'm going to tell you, okay, how does this one work? I'm going to tell you my understanding of it, and then you can point out all the different areas where I'm completely wrong.
Well, so, I will attempt to. I am as confused as you are.
But I think you're bad.
This could be a legitimate story, and if it is, I think some parts of the media have done a good job of distorting it. If it's not, it's very confusing. But you tell me what you believe to be the case.
So for the past 4 years or so, the Republicans have been harping on Joe Biden's son Hunter, who was he was using his father's powerful position to gain to sell it as influence wherever he could make a dollar, which is ironic that he's being harassed for that, considering that that's literally what is going on in our White House every day for the past 4 years. But that's me. So there has been the whole Ukraine situation was about Donald Trump trying to force Ukraine into investigating a company in Ukraine that had employed Hunter Biden. Right. And let's be brutally honest. There's absolutely no reason why a country in Ukraine would be even interested in Hunter Biden if it weren't for the fact of his father. I mean, he had no career. It's not as if he was like doing things on his own. This is pure influence peddling. The question became like, what evidence do you have? What evidence do you have? And what it seemed as if everybody was coming up with absolutely nothing. So 2 weeks before the election, some computer shop in Delaware suddenly finds a laptop that Hunter Biden dropped off years ago, never went back to check on. But this guy at the computer shop, who's a Republican, by the way, opens the laptop, looks at what's on the hard drive, finds that it's a bunch of stuff from Hunter Biden to different countries across the world selling influence. He brings the computer to Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon, who we know is impeccable when it comes to his sources. And what they do is they, instead of getting the actual hard drive, ask this man to just print up what was on the hard drive. So he gives them hard copies. And obviously, Rudy was looking for his hard copy in his pants in the hotel. But so the guy prints up the documents that are on the hard drive, gives it to Rudy, who takes it to the New York Post, who have been running wild with this story. Every day, it's the top of the banner on the New York Post, because obviously they are strongly conservative and are rooting for Donald Trump. Ron, how did I do?
I mean, I would say that's probably a decent synopsis of the first part of it. You know, I've heard different things about there being a second laptop. I've heard that the FBI has the hard drive. Now I'm also hearing that Trump is considering firing the FBI director because the director is not going to make a statement about the laptop, similar to the statement James Comey made about the Clinton emails back in 2016. Again, there is so much noise around this. And listen, I again, to your point, I have little to no doubt that Hunter probably used his father's influence to sure. to gain favor with the Ukrainians. And really, that is kind of the fucked up thing about U.S. politics in general is, you know, what we've seen between Hunter Biden and Michael Flynn and all these other guys is
Flynny.
You have all these men that are involved in American politics in some way, shape, or form that then take big payments from Russia, Ukraine, Yugoslavia, you know, all these foreign countries, and it's, you know, you have to question the thought process behind that.
but it's happened everywhere.
I think it's very hypocritical that, you know, the right, you know, is going to question, you know, Hunter Biden cashing in on his father, whereas, you know, well, all right, how did Ivanka Trump get, you know, all those trademarks in China? At the very least, Hunter Biden can still be involved in charity. You can't really say that about the Trump kids.
No.
But I mean, Donald Jr. and Eric, I don't know if Ivanka's banned from running a charity or not.
I think they're all fucking corrupt. I don't think that I feel like the current administration is more brash about it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that they are they definitely are trying to not be as secretive about it. They're probably also not waiting to get out of the White House to do it, whereas I think other administrations have absolutely sat there and cashed in afterwards.
That's fair.
I mean, what was it? Was it Vernon Johnson, Vernon Jackson, Vernon Davis? who was the guy that was best friends with Bill Clinton?
I forget.
But it was Vernon, right?
I think so. Everybody cashes in on this stuff, and it is.
But that's the thing. It's Washington is literally packed full of people who are selling influence, whether it is to Congress. Like, the whole concept of lobbyists is about influence peddling. What Hunter Biden has done is absolutely nothing different than what is going on in every administration previous. It doesn't make it right. It absolutely should be behavior that we shun. But what I find outrageous is that the Democrats go flipping out when they catch the Republicans doing it, and the Republicans do the same to the Democrats as if this has never happened before.
Right.
And I understand it's politics. They're playing a game. Unfortunately, this is my country that is at stake in all of this.
Yep. No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Can we talk about the Trump Twitter account? Because I've been dying
for the past hour
to talk to you about the Trump Twitter account.
I knew nothing about this.
So apparently there is a Dutch researcher, goes by the name of Victor Gevers. He's a security expert, and he managed to hack Donald Trump's Twitter account this past week. He guessed Trump's password on the fifth try. Now, he also did this in 2016 as well, but he also managed to do this last week. And then also, you know, he alerted Twitter, he alerted the Secret Service that he had access to all this. But would you like to take a guess? Did
he announce what the password was?
He did. He did announce what the password was. So I would like to see if you could guess in five tries what Trump's Twitter password was. It is 9 characters.
9?
There are 4 letters, 4 numbers, and a special character in that order.
So it's MAGA 1234 dollar sign.
MAGA 2020 exclamation point.
Oh. All right.
Would you like to try and guess? This one might be a little bit harder, but prior to him being president, again, the same man got into Trump's Twitter account in 2016, guessing his password then. This is 10 characters, all letters. It's a tougher one. You would have to go, I mean, think apprentice. I will say that.
Not you're fired.
You're fired was his password back in 2016.
That's awesome. That's
fucking also
awesome.
Apparently Donald did not have that two-step verification.
Why would he? Why would he?
But now
I don't think I have it.
Now apparently he does.
Oh, he has it now?
now I guess you can check and see. Like, now, obviously, I mean, because you can't even imagine how many people are probably trying to break into the president's Twitter account. And this guy's using the most, like, you know, why not just use 1234? That's the same as my suitcase.
I bet she gives great helmet.
But yeah, I mean, the guy like even tried to reach out and said, you know, he tried to reach out to the Trump campaign team. He sent messages to like the CIA, the White House. And I mean, it literally took a long time for this guy to be like, look, I've broken into the president's Twitter account. Like,
right.
With hope that would be something that, you know, someone would just be up right on top of. But
That's the kind of shit that gets you scooped up and taken to a black site in Estonia.
We can't, Brian, we can't go through an episode without talking about Jeffrey Toobin and what happened to him on his Zoom call. He has been suspended.
Ron, you tell that story. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna log off for a second and step away.
All right. Jeffrey Toobin was apparently on a Zoom call between members of the New Yorker and WNYC Radio last week when he was seen on camera masturbating in front of everybody.
What the fuck, man? What is wrong with like? Okay, so he's on a work Zoom call.
On a work Zoom call. And his excuse was he believed that he was off camera. He thought he had muted his Zoom camera. And no.
He's answering the wrong question. He's answering the question of why were you masturbating in front of your laptop?
Yes.
The question that he should be answering is, what was going on in his mind that he got so turned on a work Zoom call that he felt so compelled that he needed to start masturbating?
I mean, many are speculating that he had something on the screen apart from the Zoom call. Like he had porn or he had, you know, a cam girl or something along those lines.
Jeez.
Like
I wouldn't have even thought about that.
They thought he was on like a second video call, which I mean, again, not to say that he might not be, you know, running around on his wife as well.
Talking about multitasking.
Hey,
is this coming from people who were on that call?
Yes.
Or is, oh,
yeah. So people on the call have confirmed that they saw him masturbating on the Zoom call.
No, but the people who are thinking that he was watching a cam video or he was watching porn or, like on another cam, is this coming from people who were on the call?
This is coming from people that were on the call.
My God, I feel so much better. Like sometimes during this podcast, I've gotten distracted by my cell phone or I've checked a football score or whatnot. Now I feel so much better. I mean, the level of attention that I give to this podcast, I never thought I would honestly say is more than what Jeffrey Toobin gives to Zoom videos. Good for him. I hope his career's fucked.
Maybe he needs a fleshlight. Maybe we need to send him one in these trying times that he is going through right now.
Yeah, if he needs one, I know where he can get one. I mean, they literally ship within about 4 days.
There you go. Even during the pandemic, they ship that quickly.
That you know what? When this thing is all done with, everybody is going to put together a list of things that they accomplished during the pandemic. Maybe it's pandemic purchases or something along those lines. A fleshlight will be at the top of mind.
All right. Fair enough. Chris Christie was on Good Morning America this week talking about
he survived. If that fucker can survive COVID, you know, I feel like it's diminishing, you know, my trials and tribulations with that deadliest of plagues.
I'm not going to lie. I feel bad for young, healthy individuals that have passed away due to COVID and somehow Chris Christie survives it.
I know. Well, he survived that baseball uniform. My God, that was an unflattering photo.
It was a mistake to let his guard down. Here's another thing that shocked me as well. Chris Christie is only 58. He looks like a man well into his 60s.
No, he actually has a pretty young face. He's just morbidly obese.
I don't know.
He really is. I mean, he's grossly overweight. And I still love when... what was the reason when he shut down the beaches?
Oh, the beaches. Well, he shut down the beaches so he could be the only guy on the beach. Was that what it was?
No, I thought it was a budgetary reason or it was a health issue. I think it was budgetary. I think that he shut down the state parks because of a budgetary and then he and his family went on the beach.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that.
And if there's one thing that you do not do in New Jersey, and that is tell people that they can't go on the beach. Because Jersey people love the fucking shore.
Going down the shore. Don't be Yogi. A shooby. Don't be a shooby down the shore.
What's a shooby?
A shooby is someone who doesn't hang out at the shore. It's like a newbie, but you're a shooby. It's a shore newbie. You're a shooby, Brian.
A shooby? What the fuck? Hoogies.
Hoogies and water ice. Let's hit celebrity obituaries before we get out of here tonight.
People passed away this week?
We had a couple of losses in the music world. Spencer Davis, obviously the founder of the Spencer Davis Group, dying from pneumonia at the age of 81. Obviously, their biggest hit, Give Me Some Lovin', which we will not play on this show so we don't get shut down off of YouTube. Also, Keep On Running and I'm a Man.
Which is what Jeffrey Toobin was muttering to himself right before he got off that Zoom call.
Oh, hey-o. Spencer Davis Group had 2 number one hits, including 4 top 10 hits and 7 singles that made the top 40. Brian, we haven't rated a death in a while. Where would you rate Spencer Davis?
B-.
B-. All right. Very nice.
Everybody knows Give Me Some Lovin'. Everybody knows that song. Take him off. You take that song off, he plummets to a D.
All right. Outfield frontman, Tony Lewis,
died. Was he a left fielder or a right fielder?
he had, the 1980s hit Your Love. He passed away suddenly and unexpectedly at the age of 62. The cause of death has not yet been released.
You know, you hate when somebody, is taken away from us so young.
Yes. Your Love is the only outfield song I really know. Reached number 6 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart. They apparently also had hits with All the Love and Say It Isn't So.
It Isn't So. I don't know any of those songs.
Give me a rating on this death then.
Flat out D. Don't know the dude.
All right. Fair enough. This one, you know, again, hurt me. You were very ambivalent to it. Famed magician and skeptic James Randi, the Amazing Randi, dead at the age of 92.
Who's James Randi?
All right. So James Randi.
Educate me.
So basically, he became known as a magician, obviously, initially, but then became more involved in the skeptic world and debunking paranormal activity and things of that nature. In 1976, he established the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal. And his main target was a gentleman by the name of Uri Geller.
I know him.
Used to see Uri on a lot of TV shows. Yes. Spoons bending, you know, quarters, shit like that.
Didn't he go into space?
you have him confused with Uri Gellman, I believe. But you're close. Oh. You're a lot closer than you normally are.
Okay.
He really. If there was someone out there, he felt was a BSer, he would try and prove them wrong. And he had a challenge out there for anyone that could officially, you know, prove any paranormal activity. And no one was able to ever collect the money that he was offering.
This guy never crossed my radar.
He was on Letterman a lot back in the 80s. Letterman had him on, so I'm surprised you didn't see him on there.
Back when Letterman was on, I mean, I was out on the streets. I mean, you know, my mom and dad would go to bed at about 8:30. Mm-hmm. You know, I would raid the liquor cabinet, and at about 10 o'clock, I'd swing by my friend Victor's house. And we would literally just run the streets of Queens, you know, drinking, getting high, you know, hanging out with girls, getting them pregnant, you know, like just the kind of things you do in the inner city back in growing up in the 80s.
I lived a quiet suburban lifestyle, Brian. So I guess maybe, you know, a little bit different between the two of us. But I think that's about all we have this week. It might be time for us to think about rolling over to Ron and Brian After Dark. Obviously, exclusive content for our Patreon subscribers. And we have had, you know, if we can promote the Patreon again.
Let's do it. We have had
a number of people that have reached out to us and said that, you know, what the content, what we say on After Dark has affected them and, you know, affected them deeply. So this is, you know, like when we say the podcast is great, don't get me wrong. Love doing the podcast. When we tell you, you get your money's worth in After Dark by subscribing to the Patreon. No doubt. And then, as Brian's showing on the screen right now, depending on where you pledge, you can get the fancy Ron and Brian coffee mug, which just looks so good right there. That logo looks so nice in the black and red. You can get the tote bag. You can get the hoodie. There's a bunch of other stuff. You can get stickers. You can get face masks. You can get caps. You can get shot glasses.
In a world where you can go on Patreon and subscribe to the Ron and Brian show.
So all you need to do, as always, is go to ronandbrianpodcast.com and
click that link to
become a patron. And as always, we do ask if you head on over to Apple Podcasts, give us a review, a written review. We love the stars, but a written review is always appreciated. Anything else this week before we cut
off? You left out one other bonus of the Patreon.
Okay.
Is that once a month, we actually invite our Patreon subscribers who come in at the bronze or higher level to come on the show with us. And it's a pajama party. We do we do it the last Thursday of every month. It's gonna be a little weird. During November for Thanksgiving.
No Thanksgiving this year, Brian. So, I mean, people can plan ahead. They will have something to do.
What do you mean there's no Thanksgiving?
You can't get together with family on Thanksgiving, Brian. That's a death sentence.
It is. Family is what holds this country together.
But it can also kill us, Brian.
So if you are watching the show and you're saying to yourself, listen, I would love to join this. How do I get involved? You know what you can do? You can go to our website, click on the link to join to our Patreon site. Every the final Thursday every month, not only do you get to watch it every other week, but on the final Thursday, you get to be on the show with us.
There you go.
We've done it twice, and I think it's been great. Last week, we had the voice of God coming in from Pennsylvania last time we did it. But we've got our regulars, and it's always a fun time.
It's always a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's and let's get ready for After Dark. Thank you for joining us, everybody. You out of here, Brian?
Babe, love you.
Love you more.